Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
High summer, high temperatures, high quality racing. Hi, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and I am joined by arguably our strongest postcast team. I say arguably because David Jennings is in it. But Paul Keeley and Frank the Tank Hickey are here as well. Don't worry, DJ, I absolutely love you. Okay, we've got a great half hour ahead of you. Pin your lug holes back, grab a pen and paper. We have got, hopefully, winners and wisdom on the following. Ascot, four great races, the highlight of which is the King George. We've got three races on ITV from York. There's loads of other stuff on Saturday. We will be having a little look ahead to Sunday, and then we will get cracking on next week. Absolutely phenomenal week. Goodwood and Galway will be getting naps, bankers, long shots and lays from the panel. So, loads to get stuck into, but we'll start at the top. The top being the 3:40 at Ascot on Saturday. It's the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Diamond Stakes. Eight runners for now. More of that later. Let's get Paddy Power's show from Frank the Tank Hickey. Welcome back, Frank. Lovely to have you on the postcast again.
Thanks, Bruce. We haven't much of a clue here in the King George because we're going 2-1. Both Cracksman, Chris Lotion and Paul's Word. We're 10-1 Hydrangea, 12-1 Coronet, 25-1 Rostropovich, Salowin's 33 and Desert Encounters, the Rag at 6-6-1.
Kills, we'll start with you. Let's tackle the Cracksman situation. I mean, basically, if it absolutely lags it down at Ascot and it gets into the ground, he runs. If not, it doesn't. But if you look at the weather forecast at the moment, these kind of blobs of thundery heavy rain are falling over southern England at random, aren't they? So we just don't know, do we?
Yeah, totally random. I mean, for the last month or so, we've had the occasional warning, haven't we? Hasn't been a drop of rain around my way. It lashed down in Hyde Park not so long ago, didn't it? So, I mean, it's not, you know, anyone's guess. I mean, I'm assuming that he just doesn't run.
Should we bet without?
Well, I'd say bet
without. Now, hang on a sec. Quickly, you know, if he runs, what sort of chance does he have?
Not very much if he's in the same form as he was at Ascot and at Epsom the time before. I just think he started to look reluctant more than anything else now. It might be wrong, but, you know, I'm not buying doesn't act at Epsom at all. He had his ground then and he just looked laboured against Salowin, who shouldn't really be up to this. He looked like he didn't want to know at the start of Ascot last time, didn't he? In the
Prince okay, so World. Whether he wins, or so, whether he runs or doesn't, runs or not, you don't
fancy. I'd be opposing him. I haven't got a massively strong opinion between Chris Elotion and Pirate's Word. I think Pirate's Word is probably the slightly better horse. Maybe has a bit more speed, might not have enough stamina. And obviously has won at a mile and a half, but his strongest form was at a mile and two. I just thought Chris Elotion was a bit laboured. Only beat Red Verdon.
I didn't think that was that impressive, total authority great win.
I didn't think it was out of the march. If the dead eight went, I would half give Coronet a shout, but then she probably wants the ground fast, and if the dead eight went, it probably means it won't be.
Okay. That's not going to be your most confident tip of the day,
is it? Oh, God,
it?
No. I fancy loads.
Well, excellent. Come on. DJ, are you confident today?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is my most confident shout of the whole day.
What, the King George?
Yeah.
You're playing your joker, are you?
Yeah, it's not a joker. I just think Crystal Ocean is a good thing. I just don't think he is a flashy horse. I know what you say at Royal Ascot. But it was one of these, like, he just always beats what's put in front of him. I remember when he won his maiden at Nottingham, like, they were all shouting about him beforehand. He beat a cool, he only won by 2 lengths that day. He's never going to, I know he won by 6 at Newbury earlier on in the season when he beat Second Step, but he was still very laboured in doing so. I just don't think he's a bridle flashy type of individual, despite the way he travelled in the Ledger last year. Like, if you put this into consideration, this horse has been beaten once in his last 5 starts. So since this time last year, he's only been beaten once. And that was by Capri in the Ledger when he traded at 1.84. Like, that Ledger had Stradivarius in third, Rekindling in fourth, Coronet in fifth. And he travelled like the best horse in that race for whatever, was it? So 8-6 is 14 furlongs for 13 of those 14 furlongs.
Just to count them out.
Yeah, that was actually quite tricky. That was trickier than I thought when I started it. But yeah, for 13 of those 14 furlongs, he looked like the best horse in the race. Like, I just think everything is in his favour. I'm like Paul with Cracksman. I think he's really starting to think about it. It reminded me of the early days Cracksman when he just about won at Ascot when he beat Permian early on. And he's so lethargic, so lazy this season. It's just, I think it's nothing really to do. I think he's still got the natural ability, but he's starting to think about it. He doesn't appear to be progressing. Crystal Ocean, I think, is the real progressive one. He won't care if it chucks down. He won't care if it's rock hard. He goes on any ground, and I think he'll win. I'd be really disappointed if Crystal Ocean doesn't win.
Do you get countdown in Ireland?
Yeah.
How do you get on with the sums thing if you had to think about 8 and 6?
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah. That was a poor attempt.
Frank, Paul Keighley quite fancies Poet's Word. David Jennings really fancies Crystal Ocean. What's your view of this race?
We took a little bit, when we thought Cracksman wasn't going to be declared, we took a bit of a position at the start of the week, making Poet's Word favourite. And I would agree with Paul, I would have him slightly over Crystal Ocean. I know what David's saying about Crystal Ocean's kind of progressive and he's only been beaten once in the ledge in the last 5 runs. But if you look at what he's actually beaten in those 5 runs, Keighley can't, I'd say he's absolutely gone at the game. That was at Goodwood last year. He won at Sandown a short head from Fabricate. Fabricate's 10-1 for a listed race at York tomorrow. Second Step at Newbury he beat, who's solid but nothing spectacular, and Red Vernon was a 33-1 shot at Ascot. Now, while it is a string of ones next to his name, you kind of say, like, you know, how, what's he actually beating, and does he deserve to be favoured?
But Cliffs of Moher was third and Idaho was fifth at Ascot.
Yeah, but Cliffs of Moher was beaten 3.5 lengths, and only a couple of days beforehand he was beaten 11 lengths by Poet's Word. Now, I know you might say the trip could have an impact there, but I think even if you look at the ratings, Crystal Ocean's 1-2-2 and Poet's Word's 1-2-6, and I think that's about right. Like, Crystal Ocean will have to improve to beat him, provided Poet's Word sees out the 1.5 strongly. And on that basis, while I'm not saying Crystal Ocean can't win, I do think that if Cracksman comes out, Poet's Word deserves to be slightly favourite. And I would just about side with him. I think he travels really strongly, and depending on how hard Salowin goes up front, I'm assuming, I don't know, Dave, what you thought about this, that Rostropovich might try and help with the lead, go out in the lead as well, and maybe push Salowin a bit. But if they don't go too hard and this becomes tactical, I think it'll really suit Poet's Word.
Okay, Frank. Now, Frank, how confident are you? Have you got any big ones for us today?
I have a couple, yeah.
Good. Right, we look forward to those. The 150 at Ascot is the Princess Margaret Keeneland Stakes. A Group 3, 7 runners, so we already know our fate as far as each way goes. What's the latest, Frank?
Yeah, Royal Intervention's 15-8, Angel's Hideaway 3-1, Scintillating 130, Aquarius 8-1, Tapelli 10-1, and we're 12-1 bar.
And Frank, we'll stick with you.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident here. I did a bit of, I got involved in this race on Tuesday. Luckily, Fairyland came out, and I think Royal Intervention will be very difficult to beat. She was very impressive the first day at Lingfield, even though she was beaten. She wasn't given a hard time, and she was beaten by a horse called Octave, who got a bit of a battering off Sylvester Souza to make sure she was up. The money was down for Octave that day, but you felt that Royal Intervention travelled through the race that bit better, and she was a filly that was definitely going to win a maiden next time out. She didn't even go for a maiden. She went for a listed race at Newmarket, and she absolutely bolted up. She won by 4.5 lengths. She was really strong at the finish. You got the feeling she's definitely going to win a group race before the year is out. And with Fairyland coming out, I think this doesn't look the strongest renewal, because I think Angel's Hideaway doesn't really seem to be progressing, and you'd have to question the Albany form now with the way that Pretty Pollyanna, I know she was fifth in the race, put Main Edition and La Pelosa to the sword the last time, and even then La Pelosa was beaten in a listed race at Sandown yesterday. The one I would be a little bit afraid of is Scintillating.
The Rafe, exactly, Rafe, mate. Beckett. I was going to wait till you got to this one. This was so impressive first time up.
It was very impressive at Newbury, very impressive. It travelled well, but it still needs to step up. This Royal Intervention's well bred. That would be the one I'm afraid of, but I'd be pretty hopeful Royal Intervention will win this.
Keels, who's your fancy?
I echo pretty much everything Frank says there, to be honest. She was really, really impressive at Newmarket. You could argue it's far easier to adopt those front-running tactics at Newmarket than it is at a much stiffer Ascot, but she's not a tearaway by any stretch of the imagination, and she could just get her own way and do what she wants in front. Scintillating did look good. She's got to come on an absolute ton to be a danger, though. She might do. She's in the Lowther, so yeah, they obviously think a fair bit of her. But I think Royal Intervention is very much the one to beat.
And DJ?
Yeah, two things here. First of all, Royal Intervention is the most likely winner. And for Frank's sake, like, he's got a nice price, I'd imagine. And I think she probably will win. But there's just one filly in here who is completely the wrong price. And that is the outsider of the whole field, the Mac and Bullet. I think there's a bit of 18s out there. It's 14s of Paris. It's just completely the wrong price. It should be about 13-2. if you go like, she's not sexy because she's from Brian Ellison's stable. She made her debut at Carlisle and then she ran at Musselburgh. But if you think, if you go back to the Musselburgh race, it was a proper, it was a proper juvenile contest. Red Balloons was second. No Lippy won it. Red Balloons and the Mac and Bullet. The Mac and were so unlucky, both of them. The Mac and Bullet was hampered so many times during that race. And she immediately, I said, this is a proper filly. And she came out next time at Carlisle. Again, not a sexy track. But she absolutely bolted up. She won by 5 lengths. And you kind of say to yourself, ah, probably wasn't a great race. Greenback Boogie, who she hammered, bolted up next time. So it probably was a decent enough maiden. Won at an Epsom race, an auction race at Epsom. Won easily. Is now rated 78. The Mac and Bullet made absolute bits of her. And there's loads more to come because Ben Robinson rode her that day and he was easing down from the half furlong pole. Like, I can't believe she's 18-1. She certainly should be a single figure price. She just mightn't be good enough to be right intervention. But I think she's as good as the rest of them and I think it's a huge price.
You made a good case there, didn't
you,
Kills?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Did that convince you?
Yeah, for once I wasn't sick of listening to you.
At last.
The 225 is the Porsche handicap. Unfortunately, only 15 runners, but I'm sure all bookmakers are paying four places, aren't they, Frank?
Yeah, we're four places here, yep.
Good man.
Crack on is 11-2, joint favourite with Escalator, George of Hearts and Carose for both 6-1. Aquarium is 8-1, Sam Gold 10-1. Muckerar and Ulshaw Bridge are 12-1 and we're 14-1 bar.
Have you got this one sus, DJ?
Yeah, I fancy George of Hearts. I don't think we've seen the best of George of Hearts yet. I know last season, the vibes coming from Richard Hughes' place was this was by far the best juvenile he had. I got word before it ran its debut at Newbury that this was top, top class and bumped into Beshear that day. Still ran really well. Like, you go through his form this season and the last twice at Ascot, he's got no sort of run whatsoever. We certainly haven't seen the best of him. And you go back to that... that race at Chelmsford earlier on the season where himself and Promising bumped into another. Like, you see what Promising has done since. She's now rated 100. Now, George of Hearts was giving Promising £8 that day. Or Promising, sorry, was giving George of Hearts £8 that day. But it's still solid form given that Promising is rated 100. Now, 92, I think, is very, very fair for George of Hearts. He just hasn't got luck in running. I'd imagine he's going to be at least a three-figure rated horse by the end of the season. And I think this is going to be his day because he likes Ascot. He'll just need the gaps to open, but fingers crossed they will.
OK, well, Richard Hughes will be giving us the inside word on George of Hearts and all his weekend runners in his column in the Racing Post tomorrow. Do check that one out. Frank, who do you like here?
Yeah, I'm actually, for a change, in agreement with David here. I really like George of Hearts. I really fancied him for the Britannia. He was just in the wrong spot in a race where it paid to be handy, really. D'Souza was absolutely masterful in his front-running tactics, and I was still at that day, and George of Hearts was held up nearly last, and he couldn't make up enough ground quick enough. He finished ninth, he wasn't disgraced, but I think it's the Ascot run prior to that really draws you into him. He was second again, finishing strongly. He was well backed. He was went off 7-2 that day, but the horse that beat him was Society Power. Society Power was running off a mark of 93. He's now rated 108 after finishing second in the Jersey. The third that day, Stormbringer, was running off 95. He's won a very competitive 3-year-old 6-furlong handicap at Newmarket a couple of weeks ago off 100. Was it off 98? Sorry. He's now got up to 105 as well. George of Hearts running off 88 that day. It's gone up to 92. He's still on 92. He's definitely well handicapped. It's a very competitive race, but I'd be very disappointed if he didn't finish in the frame at least. But I think he'll win. I think what you have to know too as well is Richard Hughes had a treble at Foss last during the week, so he's in very good form. And if George of Hearts is going to win a decent race, it's surely tomorrow.
Kills, do you agree with the lads?
I think he's as dangerous as the one I fancy, but you know, it's a 3-year-old handicap. There are going to be lots of horses that are way ahead of their mark. And I'm absolutely certain that Escalator, who's won his last two, is one of them. It's funny, he was fifth in a conditions race, in a novice race over a mile and two at Kempton in March. Cross Baton won it, Tigre de Terre was second, and he just shaped really, really well there.
That was always an uphill task for Escalator, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But he did shape really, really well there over a trip that was probably too far. And then he went on the missing list until last month. And it always looked like he was ludicrously well handicapped. He was running off 75 and he was back from 10s to 4s at Doncaster and he absolutely hacked up. After the race, Charlie Fellow said he'd hoped that he was going to be his Britannia horse. But obviously he was running off 75. He 12 days later, he won off 81 and he absolutely bolted up again. Hands and Heels won by 2.25 lengths. He's now on 91, which is the sort of market it needed to be just to get into the Britannia. So Charlie Fellows has known for ages that he was at least that good. The horse he beat, Arigato, he beat by 2.25 lengths, I mean, literally hands and heels, very easily. And Arigato got put up £4 himself for that. And won at Sandown by 6 lengths yesterday. Absolutely bolted up. Will go up another 10. I think Escalator is a potential group horse running off the market in the low 90s.
You're going to get stuck in, aren't you?
I have got stuck in already. With Paddy Power's 5-4 because I can't see him being out of it. Obviously, Crack On, Crack On is still a horse with loads of potential. He's got to get rid of his tardy starting, though, because he just blew it at the start in the Britannia. And I'm sure there'll be one or two others in there that are well handicapped as well. But Escalator for me is definitely 100+.
Lovely. Excellent. Well done. And the other race at Ascot we're looking at is the Gigaset International Stakes at 3:00. Just the 29 runners charging up that 7-furlong course. Nice and wide open. Take us through the betting, Frank.
Yeah, we're actually going to play 6 places here, I think.
Excellent.
So that's pretty good value if you're looking for an each-way bet. But Maxine's currently favourite, 9-1. Flamey Spear and Ripoff, 10-1. With Tasm, Burnt Sugar, Firmament, Arbelay, Shade McCoy, El Primo Sol and Sabador, 12-1. Spanish City, 14-1. And we're 20-1 bar.
Keels, who wins this?
Not Victory Wave, because he's not in the bloody race. I mean, I backed it anti-post. I could not believe it. He could run off a £3 penalty.
Don't care. Tough luck. Move on.
Runs at Newmarket instead. Anyway, okay. Right, I had to go through the race again, and I've decided that of the 3 market leaders, 2 of them, Flaming Spear and Maxime, they're running marks in the hundreds. They can't have £10 in hand. They just can't. Whereas Ripoff can, without a shadow of a doubt. He won the Victoria Cup already. Last time out at Newmarket, he was beaten 4.5 lengths by Vintager, but that doesn't tell half the story because he never got a run at any stage. He was about 7-8 lengths down when he was finally pulled around the field. He went past the rest with hands and heels. The winner's gone up 10. I reckon it'd have been on the heels of the winner. So he's a good £10 well in. 3 years ago, his half-brother, Speculative Bid, won the Victoria Cup and went off 4-1 favourite for this race. If you remember, he put his head over the stalls and didn't come out and it caused a massive Ferrari because he was a non-runner.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Because he was declared a non-runner and then was declared a runner later. I think he might redress the balance for the owners and bash the bookies in a more conventional way. I give a little word for a massive outsider in Cold Stare, who I think is better than he's shown so far in 3 runs this year. But, you know, that is more of a guess than what's a bit of the year 66s.
Frank, who's your fancy?
I think Flaming Spear is a little bit similar to Cracksman, and I think he's left in the hope that there'll be a bit of rain. They were saying they wouldn't run him on fast ground, now he's declared, so I assume they're going to wait and see if the shower. Well, I agree, Paul, he's probably not got £10 in hand. I do think he's capable of winning off America for 105. He, like, if you even look at last year, he came back and he was favourite for this race, and he was beaten 5.5 lengths, but that was his comeback run after being off the track for 6 months. And next time out after that, then he absolutely hacked up at York off a mark of 101. He's only £4 higher. Now, he made his return in the Royal Hunt Cup off this mark of 105, and he won his side. He travelled really strongly, but he was just drawn away from the majority of the action. I think he can run well if he does run, as the rain does come. But assuming he won't run, the two that interest me, and they're both prices, the first one is a horse of Archie Watson's now called Chessman. He's a bit interesting because he had a bit of a reputation initially when he was with John Gosden. He won his debut at Kempton very easily, and then he went to Newbury in a handicap the following April, which is April of 2017. He made a debut off 87, which looked like he was thrown in. He went off 7-4, and he was beaten in neck. Now, the horse that beat him was Bacchus, who, of course, won the Wokingham this year. Bacchus is, let me just get it there, he was rated only 90-odd, I think, there. He's obviously won the walk him and gone up. He was off 92 that day, sorry. He's up to 110 now. The next day out at Haydock, he's gone off 4-5 for another handicap, beaten by Silent Echo, who was running off 85. I think he placed in the walk him. He's rated over 100 now as well. And then he ended up running 7th in the Jersey. Now, the thing is, he switched then to Archie Watson, who's in absolutely tremendous form at the moment. He's 9 from 24 in the last 2 weeks with a 38% strike rate, which is incredible. But in his first run this year, he finished third in a kind of a conditions race at Kempton behind Gelato and Arrott. He was only beaten three quarters of a length. Now, the two of them are rated 110 and 108. He was off level weights with Arrott and getting £7 off Gelato. The wheels kind of came off a little bit where he was beaten at Naas in a listed race, and he didn't get the mile at York, I don't think, when he was well behind Sovereign Debt. But the last day at Chester, there was a bit more to him. He was 50-1 that listed race, the promising that David mentioned earlier was second. All This Is Us had won. The likes of Lake Vault, Tommy Taylor, Kimbrella, etc. were behind him. They're all rated in the hundreds. He was off 95. He's £5 well in, technically, and I think he's interesting at a price. And
what the price other one, got him at?
I think we're 14, but we're well under. I think there's okay. much, much bigger out there. And another one at a bit of a price. Again, we're under, but there's bigger out there. Sabador, Fred Walker.
Jesus Christ.
Unlucky, DJ.
You must be delighted to have me back here, David.
This is incredible. I swear, you won't, I let you finish, but this is incredible. The two horses I've written down are Sabador and Chessman. But
okay. Go away.
That'll save us 10 minutes.
No, but Sabador, again, he's... Yeah, that's very funny. He was very interesting. Like, he looked really good as a trio last year. He went into the Britannia off the back of two wins from three, and he was 16-1. He wasn't disgraced finishing midfield. He returned to the Victoria Cup off a mark of 93, and he was a little bit unlucky. He looked like he was going to win the race. He came there in the lead, and you're like, right, go and kick on. He didn't. He just seemed to need it a small bit. Now, he's only beaten three quarters of a length behind Rip Off that day. Now, Rip Off is running off £9 higher. Sabador is only a pound higher. Now, he went through that Victoria Cup. Rip Off is up £11. Sri Feng has won a listed race, up two. Sea Fox won at Linkfield the other day. He was up £1 before that, but he'd probably get another couple of pounds for that. Veer's Serendipity won at Sandown's, up £4. Spanish City's won at Doncaster. Gilgamesh has gone up £7 for winning at York. Burnt Sugar won the Bunbury Cup. So the race has worked out really well. Now, Sabador had one run at Chester where I don't think the track suited him, and he's back to Ascot. He looks like he definitely is well handicapped, 100% well handicapped. I'm hoping that he'll outrun his odds. I could see him running very well.
Lovely. Well done, Frank. Very strong case, is it? David, anything to add? Sorry, mate. You've had your thunder well and truly stolen there, haven't you?
Yeah, 29 runners. Like, and this was the one race I really wanted to come first to me, because I just...
You should have said...
The two of them absolutely stuck, but you came to me first for the last race, I think. But the two of them, like, at huge prices, completely just jumped out at me. The only things I'll add to Frank's cases for both, Sabador would just about be my first pick ahead of Chessman. But Sabador, when he won a handicap at Ayr last summer, it was one of these rare occasions where a horse absolutely pulls for the whole way and then still manages to quicken a bit. JK by over three lengths that day off a mark of 85. When I seen that race, I said I didn't care what was in the race. This is a group performer in the making. And since then, we've only seen him three times. When he ran at Ascot in the Victoria Cup, I just thought if one of the gaps opened, there was about three different times where a gap almost opened. If one of them opened, I thought he would have won. Ever since then, I've just been dying for this race. And the race at Chester just stank to me of... let's get this horse ready for later season campaign. And Chester didn't suit because he was turning all the time and he didn't enjoy it at all. He was far too keen. He's off 94. I think he's much better than that. And with Chessman, I tipped Chessman when it ran in Naas at that listed race earlier on the season against Brother Bear. Wayne Lorden rode it that day and he was just quite keen and fizzy early on in the race. I think Archie Watson, and even listening to him before that race, I think he's only getting to know the horse now. That was a cracking run at Chester. I'd say this has been the plan all year, and you can actually get 25s him and 20s Sabador in other places, and I think both of them being the first four.
Lovely stuff. That was Ascot. Yorkies next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. We've got three races at ITV at York supporting the action at Ascot. And we'll start with the 205. It's the Skybet, Britain's most popular online bookmaker handicap. Eight runners in this. And Frank, how do Paddy Power bet?
Yeah, Get Knotted is 9-4 favourite. Culturati, 3-1. Arcanada, 5-1. Starlet Romance, 6-1. Overfly, 8-1. And we're 10-1 bar.
Get Knotted going for the hat trick, DJ. Can he pull it off?
Yeah, has to win. Won it, obviously, last 2 years in a row. The run last time at York, like, it says it, like, he was beaten 4.5 lengths, but if it was a 7-furlong race, I think he might even have won it. Travel there, absolutely tanking, and you're kind of going, will he stay? He just doesn't stay a mile. I think this is tailor-made for him. He looks in just as good a form as he was when he won the race last year. I think he won the race last year off 94. He's only a pound higher now off 95. York Specialist, you know, obviously comes alive this time of year. I loved that run last time. I think he's a rock-solid favourite.
Do you, Kills?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I can't see why he shouldn't go really, really well. Obviously, you know, going for three on the spin. Did run really, really well last time. One word of warning for anyone thinking about an each-way bet in a race is that Alfred Hutchinson at the bottom runs tonight. So might not turn out again. I mean, Arcanada goes fast as well. That'll suit Get Knotted. The big danger is Culturati. We don't know how good he is. He was actually joint favourite for the Wokingham 2 days before the race last year. Came out. We haven't seen him since. But he did win very, very easily when he did last run. He could be anything, but I'd rather go with the safety first, Get Knotted.
Frank the Tank?
Yeah, look, Get Knotted's most likely winner, but I'd be willing to take a chance on Culturati. He's very lightly raced. He's obviously had issues, like, as in, he only ran four times in 2015. He had one run last year where he won nicely at Newmark, and as Paul said, he was really strongly fancied for the Wokingham, and we haven't seen him. He's been gelded since. He's gone up from 94 to 100. I don't think the absence would be that much of a concern in that he won off an absence last year, but he's the one horse that could be absolutely chucked in still. He could be a group horse. I'd be willing to give him a chance at 3-1, I think that's fair enough.
19 declared for the 240, the Sky Bet Dash, over 6 furlongs. Frank, I should think this is pretty open on the betting front, isn't it?
Yeah, we're 5 places here as well, but Intasab is favourite at 6-1 after winning last weekend. Growl 7-1, Engizat 8-1, Golden Apollo 9-1 along with Harome. Baron Bolt is 10-1, Tommy Taylor and Dasha 12-1, and we're 14-1 bar.
What you got for us, Kills?
This is one of the ones that worries me because apparently the likelihood of ground-changing thunderstorms is greater up north than it is down south. And the horse I really liked all week for this is Harome, who's been bolting up. Last two times, Ben Sanderson has ridden him. He's absolutely bolted up on this course, 3 lengths and 4 lengths, really easily. He got beat here 2 starts ago, but that was in the old Jump Jockeys Derby, Jump Jockeys Nunthorpe, or whatever they call it. Like, you know, and he was third. He still ran well, but you know, he needs a bit of knowing. He needs a jockey who knows how to ride 5 furlongs, and he just flies out of the stalls and gets in front and gets into a rhythm. And he ran clean away from him last time. He does stay 6 furlongs. He might be better at 5, but he definitely stays 6 furlongs okay. And I think it'd be hard to peg back if the ground doesn't change. If it does change, it turns the whole race upside down as far as I'm concerned. I'd be quite interested in Golden Apollo. I keep backing him. I think maybe a bit of ease in the ground might be the answer, because he won at the Shergar Cup last year on Good to Soft. And Holmeswood, I'm convinced Holmeswood's got a big run in him. He's only run well once really this season, but he's definitely handicapped to win again.
Well, I'm up at York today and tomorrow, Kiel, so I'll be up at the crack of dawn. Send you a text to let you know, because I know you're out walking the dog at about quarter to five, aren't you? So I'll give you the latest info on overnight rain, okay? Frank, who do you think will win the Skybet Dash?
I've quite a strong fancy here, to be honest, Bruce, even though it's a big field handicap. I think last year's winner, Flying Pursuit, got a massive chance. I think the ground's already described as good up there, and there's some more rain forecast. There's a good chance this will actually be on the soft side of good by the time they run it tomorrow. And if that's the case, it's really going to suit this horse. He's been running on like good to firm ground the last 4 times, and he's not really been sighted. But the good thing about it is his handicap mark has gone from 103 down to 94 in that time. Now, if you go back to when he won the race last year, he won off a mark of 90, being beating Alkea, who loves York. He beat him 2 lengths very easily on soft ground. And then after that, he ran really well. He ran fifth in the Great St. Wilfrid, beating 2 lengths off 96. He won a Ripon then off 96. Was third at York off 101 and second at Donny, beating the neck off 101. He's back, like I said, he's £7 lower than that Donny run. And as long as the ground has got a soft inscription, I think he's nailed on to hit the frame, and he's a massive price.
Okay, and DJ?
Golden Apollo for me. Bruce, Keels mentioned him there. I just think, like, Tim Easterby obviously won the race last year with Flying Pursuit, but Golden Apollo always looked an ideal type for this race. And the rain is the key thing here, because, like, he has got form on like soft ground, good soft ground. If it does cut up a little bit, It'd be right up his street. I think, like, he's dropped from 99 to 94. I think he's starting to look well handicapped. The worry is stall one, which I'm not sure is going to suit. I'm not 100% sure exactly what the draw bias is at York. But if he does get a little bit of cover, I think off 94, I think he could have a few pound in hand, Golden Apollo.
What time will you be waking up tomorrow morning, DJ?
Tomorrow morning...
You a good sleeper?
Yeah, yeah. I never wake up in the middle of the night ever, which is great. I'll get up at around 8.
Oh, you'll be too late by then. Kills will have hoovered up all the value based yeah. on the weather tweet I send. Okay, and the other race at York on the telly is the 3:15, the Sky Bet York Stakes, a Group 2. Frank, take it away.
Alara comes 13-8, Smart Call 3-1, Forest Ranger 5-1, Thundering Blue 7-1, Eugenio and Fabricate 10-1, Barocco 25-1, and Euro Nightmares the Rag at 33s.
And DJ, hopefully you've got a massive fancy here because you're going first.
No, I don't, Bruce. I just think it's impossible to have a massive fancy in this race because you just don't know which Alarcam is going to show up. I've fancied him strongly in the Irish 2000 Guineas, and while you can say that nothing went right in the race and, you know, he was taken on up front and he was a little bit keen and there are excuses to be made, but it's very hard to be really confident about a horse coming in on the back of that run and after a 63-day break. If he's not up to scratch, you know, Smart Call will probably win. I thought he was very, very, very good at Newcastle because there was a couple of moments where the gaps weren't going to open. But then if you back Smart Call at whatever, is he 3-1 with Powers, like you're backing a horse who you know is not good enough to beat Alarcum if Alarcum is the same Alarcum that ran in the Guineas and was 4th Saxon Warrior. So I just think it's impossible to have a bet in this race and I won't.
Okay, don't. Frank.
To be honest, I think it's a bit of a horrible race. I wouldn't be convinced Alarcum. I think the softer ground might help him a little bit. I definitely wouldn't like Smart Call and I'd be pretty sure when I get my way later, this will be a bigger price. Forest Ranger carries a penalty. Thundering Blue wants a big field handicap where he can be held off the pace and pick them up late. The one I'd take a chance on would be probably Fabricate. If you go back to his Sandown run earlier in the year, he was only beaten a short head by Crystal Ocean off level weights. Now, Crystal Ocean clearly needs the run that day. But, like, he handles soft ground. Michael Bell's in tremendous form as well. I think he's operating over 30% for the last 2 weeks, which is incredible for a stable like his. So, yeah, it's not a race I've much confidence in, but if the 8 run, I'd probably just have a small each way bet on Fabricate at 10-1.
Kills those two negative ninnies, never mind them. Who do you fancy?
It is a hard race because we know Alarcum as the best form and could still be top class. He was said to have a respiratory infection after Ireland, but I mean, he's still got previous days. So I'd take him on. I'm not convinced about Smart Call. I'm not that worried about the size of the field for Thunder and Blue, to be honest. I just think he's a really, really progressive horse who travels well, really seems to like York as well. I mean, you've got to remember, that was a fairly steady pace that Euken Glenn set in the John Smith's Cup last time. Basically made all, and he's came from virtually last to finish second. I think he did really well there. They might not go that fast, but, you know, according to the trainer, this horse wants a bit of cut as well. Like, you know, and he's been running cracking races on good to firm ground. And if he is better on soft ground, then he'll be up there. I'd back him each way if the dead eight go.
Good stuff. Right, let's get the roundups then. We'll start with Kiehl's. We've got the rest of Ascot. We've got the rest of York. We've got Gowran Park. We've got Newcastle, Chester, Newmarket, Salisbury and Lingfield. Loads going on. Who should we be backing?
Well,
keep your nap up your sleeve.
The nap is definitely up the sleeve. But there are so many horses. Like, you know what the weather was like last night, weren't you? Could not sleep. So, I mean, I've just been studying all night long. So I've got quite a few. And
so do you like wake up like quarter to two in the morning?
I don't even bother going to bed when it's that hot. I didn't go to bed till 3. I was pointless. It was baking hot. So I just sat at a computer and studied.
Visions of Kiehl sweating like in bed.
In a string vest. Go on then, Kiehl's. I think the key with these roundups is the horse, the time and the meeting. We're not too fussed about the reasoning, but crack on.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Power Allied, 310 Chester, got stall one, been running well. If there's any rain around, he's a good thing. Master Brewer, 4:15 Ascot. Nate the Great will be a short price, but having been second in the Chessen, but Master Brewer ran really, really well at Newmarket. Won a four-runner race, second and fourth, won easily since. Ribeiro, 4:50 Ascot. He was favourite. This is the Lady Amateur Riders race. Favourite for the race 2 years ago, but blew out. But last year landed a massive gamble over 6 furlong at the track when trained by Mick Easterby. He's now gone to Gay Kellaway. First run for her. She puts Serena Brotherton on. £2 lower than last win at Ponty. I think he'd go well. Arab Moon really annoyed me because I thought he had a massive chance at Ascot this afternoon, but he's been rerouted to York. He's definitely well handicapped. Whether York will suit him as well as Ascot, I don't know, because he's an all-weather horse.
Which race is that?
4:25 York. Appointed, 5 o'clock York. She won a race last year. She's £2 lower. Just returned to form, banging form with a second at Ripon last time. Victory Wave, who I was moaning about at Newmarket, 3:25. She's up £9 for a win last time, but she's in a Group Two at the end of the season. She'll go well. And in the 4 o'clock at Newmarket, Kimmy 5 must be backed, 6th to Foxtrot Lady, but on the wrong side, won his race by 2 lengths, £8 better off a runner up Stormbringer. I think he'd go very, very close.
Okay. DJ, I did mention I'm going to York. My train leaves quite soon, so if you can bear that in mind when you're doing your roundup.
I will indeed. Okay, we'll start off in the...
get a move.
4:15 Ascot. 4:15 Ascot. Master Brewer. Paul mentioned it already. That was one of mine, and he made a very valid case for it. In the 5:35 at York, and this is the nightcap, Bruce, so it'll get you out. Q Amoro of Michael Dodds and Callum Rodriguez beat Queen Jojo quite impressively last time at Beverly. Queen Jojo came out and bolted up next time. I'd say that was a good maiden. So Q Amoro in the 5:35 at York. And I have 2 for Salisbury, would you believe, in the 7:45 at Salisbury. Midnight Meeting bolted up at Nottingham. I thought that would win again. And in the final race at Salisbury, the 8:15 Hawkerland got a shocker from Hayley Turner, who is in great form at the moment, riding great. She's the winner. She's the winner yesterday at Yarmouth, but I just thought Hawkerland was dropped a pound for that. This is a worst race. It was well backed. It made kind of rapid progress down the back to kind of take up the run, and you're kind of going, what the hell is going on here? Just thought that it was the race didn't go to plan. It's back to the same venue that it ran well behind O'Cool at earlier on in the season. So yeah, I thought Hawkerland in the 8:15 at Salisbury was one of my strongest fancies.
Lovely. Thank you very much, DJ. And Frank, what you got for us?
Yeah, I only have a few. Ascot 4:15, 7 furlong listed race. Obviously, Nate the Great set the standard on the second in the Chesham. He's only narrowly beaten. But I really like Master Brewer. He was a massive eye-catcher in debut in Newbury and a really strong maiden.
I don't think Frank listened to either of us.
I know. It's 3 votes for him. We might give one of them as the lad said or whatever.
I genuinely wasn't listening because I was trying to look at Goodwood and Galway for next week.
Oh, fair enough. Honesty is always the best policy.
Whatever the lad said, Master Brewer, he'll beat Nate the Great. I really like him. What else do I have? Oh, 5:40 Newmarket. Did you mention Bedouin Story? No. Oh, yeah, it's running off 75. It's a bit of a slow learner. Went off 33-1 for Newmarket Maiden at the end of last year. Didn't show much. Was well punted. Went off 4-1 for Maiden earlier in the year. Newmarket again. Didn't show much again. But the vibes are really strong about it. Pre-race, disappointed. Went to Salisbury the last day. Dropped from 10-7. Was really strong in the finish and beat a nice, well-bred newcomer. Now, on the bare form, it's probably on a fair mark of 75, but I'd be pretty sure this is closer to a 90 horse. Looks really well treated off 75. I think it could progress again now that's after getting the win. And that's all I have. Just
okay, great. Well done. Thank you very much, Les. That's brilliant. Okay, Steve Palmer, away you go.
This will not be beaten.
Paul Keeley.
Escalator, 2:25, Ascot.
David Jennings.
Oh, and this will not be beaten. Crystal Ocean, 3:40, Ascot.
And Frank Hickey.
At York, 2:40, Flying Pursuit.
Thank you very much, chaps. Fantastic stuff. We will be back in just a moment, looking ahead to Galway and Goodwood.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, bgambleaware.org.
OK, welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, David Jennings and Paddy Powers. Frank Hickey. Before we get stuck into next week's action at Goodwood and Galway, Kills, you've got one for us for Sunday that will boost our tanks.
Yeah, I've got a couple actually, but the most interesting one without a doubt is a horse rated just 55 at Pontefract called Oriental Splendor in the 5:10. If you ignore his 2 first time out runs over the last 2 seasons at the course, his form figures are 2-1-1-4-3-3. 5 of those times he's run to an RPR of 72 or higher. He's running off 55 for Roof Carr, who's now in form. Ran well enough 2 starts ago. Will win.
Let's hope the other one as well.
2 at Utoxa Imperial Presence, 4:15. Good little race this. 5 of the 7 runners won last time out, but he's been really impressive for Philip Hoggs. I think he'll go in again. And Chase N. Charlie hasn't run in this. That's the 3:45. Hasn't run for nearly a year and a half. Trains trainers to Henry Oliver, who's booked Richard Johnson. I think 10 of his 24 rides for the yard have been in the first two, so he's not just out for a quiet run on his first run back, chasing Charlie.
Good man kills. Right then, one of my big bugbears about racing is that Goodwood and Gawain always take plus in the same week. I think it's absolutely mad. They should stagger them. They won't. We've got to get on with it, and at least we've got to enjoy what is a sensational week. So the racing at Galway from Monday through to next Sunday, that's a seven-day epic, and then obviously glorious Goodwood Tuesday to Saturday. Now then, what we'll do Galway first. I want one horse from each of you for the week. David Jennings.
Oh God, there's so many. I will give a shout out to Sub-Lieutenant, who I think could be different class in the Galway Plate. A bit of 20s with Frank's Firm, which is surprising. But the one I'm going to go for is in the Colm Quinn BMW Mile Handicap, the 7:40 at Galway on Tuesday. It is 14-1 with Paddy Power, and it's a horse called Massif Central, trained by Mick Halford, who ran over mile 2 at Leperton last time. And it always shapes as though it's a stayer. But I think it just needs a real fast run mile. Hopefully he'll get drawn towards the rail. Very, very similar type of horse to Brendan Bracken, who won the race a couple of years ago. If it does get stall 1-6, expect it to be up with the pace. And I think off a mark of 100, he's got maybe £8 in hand. So Massif Central on Tuesday at 7:40 at Galway.
Frank, who's your Galway good thing?
Yeah, I'm going to go for probably one of the most difficult races of the week, the Galway Hurdle. And I really like David's Charm. He started off in handicaps last year in the stole off American 95. So obviously the fact is he's been running this race is some training performance, but he absolutely bolted up that day in the stole, went to Galway to the festival last year, ran over 2 miles, 5 furlongs, hacked up again off a mark of 111. Went back to the stole, was only beaten in the neck by Lagos to Vegas. It's probably a small bit unlucky off a mark of 127, but it's the run of Fairy House in December that really catches the eye. That good handicap hurdle is always a good pointer to later on in the year for both the Carl hurdle, the Leopardstown and the County hurdle. But surprisingly enough, they held him back. Whether he had an issue or not, I'm not sure, but I would be thinking they probably eyed up this race. He had 2 spins on the flat and just 2 maidens. One at the end of June, one in the middle of July. So it's basically just prepping him for this. He's off a mark of 144, and just look at that Fairy House race. He'd married a V second that day. She's obviously come out and won a decent handicap since, and there's a few in there like Yaya Fizz and Ben Dundee and stuff were decent handicappers behind him. He's progressive. He has course form. He's stayed a bit further. He's versatile ground-wise. I think he's a very fair bet. I think he's about between 12 and 16 to 1, depending where you go. But, yeah, it's a fair price, I think.
Frank Hickey special, Davies Charm. And what day's that, Frank?
That is Thursday in the Galway Hurdle.
Right, don't forget that one. And Kills, have you got one for us?
Yeah, again, one of the harder races, the Galway Plate. Obviously, it's 10 years since a British trained horse won it, but I do think that Neil Mulholland's Calandra is potentially well handicapped on the mark 147. Had a really good novice season last year. A good third to the ridiculously well handicapped Traffic Fluid in a Grade 2 handicap chase at Cheltenham in April. Does want decent ground and travels really nicely, and I think the track will suit.
And one of Frank Hickey's guilty pleasures.
Right. Yeah, no, I'd be quite keen on him as long as it doesn't rain, but there seems to be a bit of rain forecast next week, and that would turn me off him if it did go on the softer side. But there's no doubt that run at Cheltenham was, he shaped like the best horse by a mile that day. He was out wide and travelled really strongly and just got nailed late up the hill.
Okay, that's 7:20 at Galway on Wednesday. Right then, chaps, Goodwood, what we're going to do is we're going to do a banker for the week, a long shot for the week, and a lay for the week. Keely, your banker. Sorry, Keels. Keely, that was very rude.
Yeah. 1:50 Wednesday. The 2 mile, 5 furlong handicap. They've unfortunately let the cat out of the bag a little bit by booking Sylvester D'Souza so early, but Lil Rockefeller. Obviously better.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? A little Rockefeller,
better known as a staying hurdler. The last time he ran on the flat, he was rated 133 over hurdles. He's 154 now. He was as high as 164. He could have absolutely tons in hand. Sylvester will bounce him out, and I think he'll just win easily.
And you'll hear co-owner Andy Smith all over the South Downs.
I was begging him not to release the jockey until the betting came out, and he did.
Couldn't help himself. Who's your banker, DJ?
Mine is in the 225 at Goodwood on Wednesday. The move over to Matchbook Handicap, but obviously if you can back with Paddy Power too. It is a horse called Drill, trained by Luca Kamani, won last week, or two Saturdays ago at Newmarket. I thought he absolutely bolted up. A real steady, progressive horse from Luca Kamani, middle distance handicapper. He won that race off 85. I was convinced he'd go up 10, possibly more. Only went up 5 from 85 to 90. I think he's got loads in hand. I can just see him building up a sequence, and he would be my idea of the bet of the week. 225 Goodwood Wednesday. I think it's 7-1 with Paddy Power.
That's Drill. And Frank, who do you like?
In the Nassau Stakes on Thursday, I think. The one I really like is Voracious. She was obviously well touted for the 1,000 guineas, but met a setback shortly before it and missed the race. But she came back in the Coronation Stakes, and she ran an absolute sledger, because if you saw the interview with Michael Stout beforehand, he was basically saying she badly needs this and she'll come on a ton for the race, and she actually ran unbelievably well. The fact she clung on for third was a testament to how good she probably is. Like, Alpha Centauri is clearly the best 3-year-old of any sex around over a mile at the moment. She's absolutely top class, and I think all three of them, the first three home that day, I know Alpha Centauri broke the track record, but I think Treading and Voracious both dipped under the track record as well, even though they were well beaten. I stand to be correct on that, but I think they did. And then she obviously had the 1,000 guineas with her Bills and Brook behind her. Now, I, as well as liking her, it's a function of the fact that I really don't like Urban Fox. I think that Curra race that she won, that was the Pretty Polly, was a bit of a farce. I think 10 furlongs isn't forever together's trip at all. I wouldn't like her at all, but Voracious, I'd be very, very keen. I had a bet in her there a couple of weeks ago, and I'd be tempted to go back in. I see there's still 5-1 about. That's a bet.
Excellent. Okay, long shots, Kills.
If Frank's mentioned it, if Threading runs in the Lennox Stakes, I think that's quite interesting. Just ignore her run at Newmarket. Why Mark Johnson keeps running there, I don't know. She always finishes tailed off. Could be interesting at price round at 16s.
DJ?
My old favourite, Dutch Connection in the Lennox Stakes. 1-2-1-1 form figures at Goodwood. Has won the race before. Was second to Tourmore the year before that. And the 16s about there. I think Dutch Connection might win it again.
And Frank?
Yeah, the Stewards' Cup, I've taken a bit of a punt here. Like, it's obviously the draw could be so important come next week. But Foxtrot Lady is doing nothing but improving, and she's about 12-14-1 for the Stewards' Cup, and I think she's got a good chance. That Newmarket run was very solid, and she's gone up a little bit. She'll have a penalty for that, but Connections won it a couple of years ago with a similar enough type.
Okay, and we'll get your lay of the week, chaps. Kills, I think I know who yours is going to be.
Can I guess that the three of us will have the same lay?
Well, let me think now. We're all talking about Without Parole here.
Yep.
Yeah, that's mine anyway.
Oh, this, no, mine isn't that.
Kills, just one sentence on why.
Quite simple. He can win, obviously, but there is so little between so many of the milers, and I just don't think he deserves to be under 2-1.
And you like Beat the Bank there, though?
And I like Beat the Bank, yeah. It certainly wouldn't surprise me if Expert I won, but I still like Beat the Bank.
DJ, anything to add on Without Parole?
Yeah, I just think Expert I will beat Without Parole, and just underpriced. I think it is the Bismarck of the meeting.
And who's your lay, Frank?
Oh, 100% Urban Fox in the Nassau Stakes. Couldn't have her at all.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. Great to have the team back. Hopefully we can do it all again soon. We've got daily postcasts all next week. Goodwood and Galway, so join us for them. Don't forget, we've got our new regular Wednesday golf postcast as well, with Steve Palmer in action there. That's always worth a listen. We're not too far away from the football. I think we've got the big kickoff postcast next week as well. So postcast wherever you look. Thank you very much, Frank the Tank. Thanks, DJ. Thanks, Kills. Thank you for watching or listening. Have a great weekend.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.